Well, hello there, and welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Tipping Podcast. I'm David Jennings, and I'm standing in for Bruce Millington this week. And what a panel we have in store for you. We've got a treat. It's Breeders' Cup weekend, and we've brought in the big gun. Yes, we've got race day editor at the Racing Post and our international expert, Mr. Ron Wood. How are you, Ron?
How's it going, DJ? Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
I am absolutely privileged to be in your company because anything to do with American racing, there are only two men that I go to. It is Tom Collins and Ron Wood. So I'd imagine you're hugely excited.
Yeah, it's been a busy week building up to it, but really looking forward to it now. Looking forward to getting started after just sort of studying, having your head in the sort of form book for so many days. But yeah, can't wait now. Should be good.
So listeners, stay tuned because we're going to talk all things Delmar with Ron Wood later in the show. And of course, we can't forget our regular tipster who has been shooting the lights out over the last couple of weeks. It is our deputy betting editor, Rodders, Mr. Graham Rodway. How are you, Graham?
Yeah, very well, DJ. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend. Plenty of live racing on ITV. Plenty of versatility as well. You'd need to be quite versatile, wouldn't you, this weekend?
Yeah, it was funny because I've just been compiling the Saturday jury for the Racing Post. And I was saying, you know, if we can find our best jumps experts with a penchant for US racing, that would be absolutely fantastic. Needless to say, it's quite hard to come by.
Yeah, I think you're the man, though, are you? I think you are actually that person.
You see, I cheat a little bit, DJ. You see, I've got all my knowledge on the British racing, and then I've got a little bit of info coming in from across the Atlantic. So I like to just pass on the little snippets that I'm getting over from Del Mar. So stay tuned for those. They've actually been very profitable to follow on this show
past. The only problem there is, Rodders, you're probably stealing it from Ron, who's actually on the show.
Well, Ron's opinions are actually based on facts. You see, mine is just all hearsay. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for hearsay.
I thought you were going to say yours are based on fiction, Graham.
Well, some people would say that.
Anyway, as I said, you're going to have to stay tuned for Ron's nuggets later on in the show. And they are worth waiting for. He has got four for us. So we've got your Breeders' Cup Lucky 15 in the can. But before then, there is, of course, domestic action. And we're going to kick off with the 2:15 at Aintree. We're back over the Grand National Fences. It is the Betway Grand Sefton Handicap Chase. And at the moment, the best price is Time to Get Up. Over 2.5 miles is currently your 9-2 favourite. Cat Tiger 5-1, Senior Citizen 6-1, 5-star Getaway 8-1, 8-1 Hogan's Height. It is 10-1 bar, which brings in Spyglass Hill from the all-conquering Henry de Bromhead stable, and Thomas McDonough. Take it away, Rodders.
Yeah, quite surprised to see this thing favourite, aren't you, DJ? Over 2.5 miles, Time to Get Up.
Shocked.
I mean, he looks like he's going to be a Grand National Horse of the Future, and half thinking, well, 2.5 miles, are they just giving him a look round the Aintree fences? But the bookmakers don't think so, because he's a red hot favourite. I mean, I always just go back to the Grand National fence form when these races come up with the Grand National. I must say, it's great to see this race moved from its previous spot. Of course, it used to be on the same card as the Beecher. Now they've moved it to make it a feature of its own. And I think every race over the Grand National fences really should have a day of its own. It's such an event, isn't it? I look towards the Grand National fence form, which, of course, there's a few in here who come in with that. I mean, Cat Tiger was third in the Hunter Chase there last year. Senior Citizen was third behind Live, Laugh, Love in the Topham, of course. What?
You've got what? The wrong way around, Graham.
What? Live, Laugh, Love? Live, Laugh, Laugh, Live, Love? Do you like that horse, don't you?
Live. You have to live, then love, and then laugh.
Right, okay. I'll take your word for that, DJ.
You got the syllables mixed up a bit there.
I'm sure you're a lover, a liver, and a laugher.
Yeah, all three. Yeah, continue.
Anyway, the one that I like is the one that finished behind Live, a Lover, Laugher, and Senior Citizen in the Topham in fifth, Sir Jack Yates, who was actually second in this race last year. So he's got some really good form over the fences. I think that although he was beaten by a Senior Citizen that day, miles behind him, he actually went off a bit quicker than him and went probably too fast. His finishing speed percentage was very low. So I think that maybe they used up a bit too much petrol early on, like they often do in these races, trying to get him prominent. And then he finished quite weakly, but he's actually £5 lower than when he met Senior Citizen on that occasion. And Senior Citizen is racing off a £2 higher mark. So there's quite a big swing of weight. £7, is that? If my maths is correct, which it isn't always, but I think it's £7. And I think that if he returns to that sort of form, he's got a huge chance. He was second last year in the race behind Beau Bay off the same mark. So Jack Yates for me. What do you think, DJ?
Lovely stuff. Yeah, he's very interesting, Sir Jack Yates. I am not too patriotic, but I did think the two Irish contenders have a big chance here. Spyglass Hill, I did Henry de Bromhead Stable Tour a few weeks ago, and we probably did it maybe a week in advance, like of when it came out, and then we did updates. So that's quite a while ago now. And he had said that Spyglass Hill's main aim all season was this race, and he nominated. So it's interesting that he shows up here. And I think the trip is perfect. I don't think he's the stoutest stayer over 3 miles. And Hugh Morgan takes off £3. And Hugh knows the horse quite well as well, because he's ridden him in his last two starts. He was fifth in the Munster National behind On the Ropes. Tom Siegel put up On the Ropes for the Ladbrokes Trophy in his Anticoat Sipping column earlier this week. So I think that's strong enough form in the context of this race. I think he'll go well, and at a much bigger price. The other Irish contender, the West Awake, which was he was actually 20-1. Yes, he's into 14s now. He's not well handicapped, but I think he's guaranteed to give his true running. Like, he officially finished 14th in the Galway Plate, but he actually led coming down to the second last and just didn't quite see out the kind of 2 miles, 6.5 furlongs up the hill at Galway. I think he'll run really well for Eddie O'Grady and Philip Enright. And it's great to see the Magner colours over the Grand National fences. So that is the 2:15, the Grand Sefton at Aintree. Moving on to the 3:20, and it is the Betway Hurdle live on ITV4. Brewing Up a Storm, fresh from a wind operation, is currently your 2-1 favourite. Somerville by 130. It is 130 also Wild About Oscar. If the cap fits, 8-1. Lisnagar Oscar, 8-1. And Martello Sky is 10-1. Some favourites in here, Rodders.
There are some old favourites, aren't there? Obviously, Brewing Up a Storm wins these sorts of races. Ollie Murphy's in flying form at the moment. He's coming off a wind op, though. I didn't really think that Grade 1 race was a proper Grade 1, that Abracadabra's one, although there has been a few horses went out of it. Of course, Buzz on the flat. And he's got £6 to give to Somerville Boy, though. Somerville Boy just wins, don't he, DJ? This is his sort of race, isn't he?
Yeah, it is. But you know what? I just can't trust him anymore, Otters. I can't. I don't know. I thought, even going back to the Relkiel at Kempton, I just thought that day, I just didn't like what I saw that day. McFabulous was very impressive, but he just didn't really get into any rhythm, and his jumping went to pieces a little bit. He did travel quite well, but I don't know. I just can't trust him anymore. I actually, it's stupid to say, but I actually trust Brewing Up a Storm a little bit more. I think that Fontwell win over McFabulous is very strong form in the context of this race. I know he has to give £6 to Somerville Boy, and on the ratings he can't win, but I just think he's a little bit more scope for improvement. He's lighter raced, he's a year younger. Ollie Murphy Stable are in good form, so just by a smidgen I prefer.
He's always been a bit like that, you know, Somerville Boy. He's a funny horse, but on his day he's got loads of ability. The other one I just want to mention is Martello Sky, the mare in the race. I mean, he's got absolutely no chance on the figures, but was very impressive last time out in a handicap hurdle at Market Raisin. Flew home, really finished well, and we all know this mare's allowance is a joke, isn't it? Should be like, well, should be nothing really, but I mean, she's getting the mare's allowance, so she's not really got the class to be competitive, but it wouldn't surprise me if she was.
No, I'm in agreement with that. Yeah, I think she could run well. Moving across to Wincanton at 150, the John Romans Park Holmes Rising Star Nobbs and Chase. And we've definitely got a rising star this year. I'm convinced of it, because Brave Man's Game is your 1-2 favourite. Can we keep this simple, Graham? Are we going to give Ron more time here to talk about the Breeders' Cup? Is Brave Man's Game going to win?
Yeah, everyone's waiting with bated breath for Ron to come in on his breeders' tips while we go through these jumpers, aren't they? No, I mean,
piling pressure on me, but
we'll keep them waiting. I think Brave Man's Game will win, DJ, of course. But it's not an absolute penalty kick. I mean, Smick Pasta last time at thingy, you only won a 2-runner race, but Sebastopol's not terrible horse, and he beat him 20 lengths pointless. Really strange race where 2-runner race, they actually finish really, really slowly. So make of that what you will. Obviously, a stiff uphill finish at Exeter may explain that. But Fave Wire last time out as well at Cheltenham, I mean, that ran a cracking time, considering how poorly it jumped. It literally every time Fave Wild looked like he was going to come and get himself involved in that race, he made a mistake. You're just going to get in there, going to make a mistake. I mean, he must have ability, that Fave Wild. But, you know, when you're talking about obviously like Fave Wild, Mick Pasta, and then you mention Brave Dan's Game, you're just talking about a different grade of animal.
The Racing Post are proud to be supporting Safer Gambling Week, the 1st till the 7th of November. For more information, visit safergamblinguk.org.
So moving on to the feature race at Wincanton on Saturday, over 3 miles, 1 furlong and 30 yards. It is the 60th Badger Beer Handicap Chase. I'm going to kick off here because I like Irish Prophecy for Emma Lavelle and Tom Bellamy. I actually thought he was really impressive last time over this course and distance. So it was actually over a little bit further than this trip. I think it was 3 mile 2.5. But I just loved the way he jumped last time. I thought he got into a good rhythm. And even when I go back to the Bet365 Gold Cup last year, he was pulled up. But I thought over the railway fences, he was sneaking into contention. And he just got very tired. I think he looks a different horse this season. I like the way he ran a Chepso the time before as well, when fifth to Chirico Vallis. He's got up £7 for winning that race at Wincanton, but he's only 8. And I think there's more improvement to come. I think this is a good horse. And I think 11-1 is very fair each way about Irish Prophecy. Agree or disagree, Rodders?
Are you just tipping all the Irish horses and all the horses with Ireland in their name? Is that what this is, DJ?
Yeah, that's you've caught me.
I saw this win last time. It was a really good time when he won this race at the track. And I think there was a jump at like the third last where he was like 1, 2, 3. It was like boom, and he absolutely flew. It was brilliant. But I don't think he'll win this race. I like talking about like beer and. I like, of all the gin joints, I know it's not beer, but it's alcohol, isn't it? Of all the gin joints for the Tizard, I mean, the Tizzy's back, isn't he? We got a bit of Fiddler on the Roof the other day, and then we got a bit of Eldorado Allen at Exeter. Yeah, so the Tizzy is back, right back amongst the big time. It's only had 6 runs over fences, this horse. And it even runs terribly or brilliantly. So it's either going to be tailed or it's going to win, probably. It's 2 runs that give it a chance. Well, it beat St. Bart's in a novice handicap chase at Exeter last year. St. Bart's is quite a nice prospect, but probably hasn't gone on from that race. And he was 5th in a really hot handicap chase at Aintree's Grand National, even behind Happy Go Lucky, John Beebe, Spirit of the Games, all those old tough and genuine handicappers. That was off a mark of 141. He runs off 137 here. Now, he ran first time out, beating 73 lengths handicap hurdle, but almost certainly would have needed the run. And also, that race was run at a fierce tempo throughout. So it would never have been ideal for a horse who wasn't 100% fully wound up, because he would have been really struggling if he wasn't fit in a race run at such a sound pace. So I think you're going to see of all the gin joints step up here, DJ, first time blinkers on.
You know, it's quite ironic. At the end of all this, I'd say everybody will think the two of us were drunk actually on the show. So it's quite topical that we're tipping of all the gin joints. Moving on to the 3:35, the Unibet Elite Hurdle. It's a grade 2, and I love this race this year. I really love it. So Royal is your 11-8 favourite. Goshen 9-4. 15-2 Belfast Banter, last year's County Hurdle winner. Christopher Wood, again, after wind operation, is 10-1. Sole Pretender, an Irish Raider from the Norman Lee stable with Harry Cobden booked, is 10-1. 14-1 Takani. 33-1 Hatcher. Goshen. Where do we stand, Graham? Are you a believer in Goshen?
I think that he is an absolute machine, but would you fancy him for this race?
I do.
Do you? Do you? Do, well, yeah, what my, have you been? You know something that I don't?
Well, a lot of things, but I think I just go back to that Kingwell performance last year at Wincanton, where we know he's better going right-handed. He absolutely loved it. Now, Song for Someone, who you were very sweet on that day, never jumped a hurdle, never looked happy, and I fully appreciate that the winning margin was fairly dramatic, like 22 lengths. He's not 22 lengths a better horse than Song for Someone. But I did think we did see the real Goshen that day. It was an RPR of 165. And if he runs within probably £6 or £7 of that, I think he'll win. The Gary Moore stable are in terrific form. I'm sure they've had this race as his target for a long, long time. I think Gary Moore, actually, in the last fortnight, he's had 9 winners. So you know his team. And like to add to that, I remember going through his stats this morning. He's had 9 winners in the last fortnight, but he's also had loads of seconds and thirds. I think he's had maybe 7 seconds and maybe 4 thirds. So his team are firing on all cylinders. This has definitely been the plan. This horse hasn't ran since April. There was no messing around in the flat this year. I think he'll have him cherry ripe for this. And I think this is the day. You can't trust Goshen and you never know what you're going to get. But I think this is the day you might just get the real Goshen.
Well, DJ, I think you've convinced me.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Rodgers.
The point on this race is that if Goshen is right, he definitely wins. If Goshen is wrong, So Royal definitely wins and nothing else can win. So you're gambling on Goshen being right. If Goshen is right, I think he definitely wins. If he isn't, So Royal definitely wins. I'm not sure if he's going to be right, but you've just convinced me he is, DJ.
Okay, I think we've somehow managed to kind of maybe almost sorted that race out. That's the Unibet Elite Hurdle 335 at Wincanton. It's probably the most intriguing race of the day, if nothing else. And I am keeping the faith with Goshen.
The Racing Post is supporting Safer Gambling Week. To find out more about Safer Gambling Week, search the hashtag SGWeek21 or visit safergamblinguk.org.
Yes, welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Tipping Podcast with David Jennings. And we've got race day editor at the Racing Post and international expert Ron Wood, as well as deputy betting editor Graham Rodway. So we're going to move codes and go on to the flat at Doncaster 205. It is the Virgin Bet Wentworth Stakes. It is a listed race over 6 furlongs. And the Queen's King's Lynn is currently your 130 favourite. Dakota Gold 6-1. Tarhib is 15-2. Ainsdale in a first-time visor is 8-1. Bielsa is 9-1. And it is 12-1 bar. This is just your kind of race, Rodders.
Yeah, this is. King's Lynn, now 130 favourite, DJ. Right? This horse will win if he wants to, won't he?
There's always this proviso at the end, isn't it? He will win if...
Well, it's like he's a bit like Goshen, isn't he? But he's a bit more reliable than him. Like, he's a funny old character, isn't he?
He is a very funny character. Probably doesn't win as many races as he should. I thought, last time I thought the
race... Say that again. I mean, how many races has he won? About one?
He has...
Two.
He's won 2 races in his career, yeah, from 13 starts. He's been second 5 times.
And one of them, he absolutely fell in, didn't he, at Haydock, in that listed race. And maybe he should have won the King's Stand or he should have won the Wokingham. I mean, you can make arguments always. I think he's going to be running really well again and getting beat. I'm going to go against him. I quite fancy Juska for Henry Candy, who again is flying. And this all stays a little bit further. So I think testing ground might suit him. And they've put Rob Hornby on, who's having a fantastic season. And this horse is very well handicapped on his best form. I think he ran to an RPR of 105 early in the season at Musselburgh. And I think if he were anywhere near that sort of level, he'd have a huge chance. And he won at the end of last season, back in the last season, a listed race at Newmarket. So on soft ground, this is sort of his time of year when he hits his straps. And there's a few horses in there who I thought had good chances, like King's Lynn, like Bielsa. But Bielsa's had his big day, hasn't he? King's Lynn's been to all the big gigs. I just think this might be Juska's race, DJ.
Yeah, you've made a valid argument there, Rodders. The one I actually like is Ainsdale for Carol Burke and Clifford Lee. First-time visor on here. And I actually thought he ran really well in the champion sprint. He was obviously outclassed. He was 125-1, but he finished 10th. He was only beaten just over 5 lengths. And if you stop the race at halfway, you're kind of going, Jesus, Ainsdale has a chance of winning the Group 1. I thought he ran really well the time before at Ascot as well. He was only beaten a length and 3/4 in a Group 3 by Vadream. Now, he was obviously just behind, maybe a 3/4 of a length behind King's Lynn. But I just think on this ground, this time of year, visor on, I think Ainsdale could have a big part to play. And he is 8-1. So there you go. That's the 205 at Doncaster. Moving on to the 240 at Doncaster, it is the Virgin Bet November Handicap. I actually like this race. I have fond memories of it over the years, Rodders, because back in 2018, I was really keen on Royal Line, who won for John Gosden and Rab Pavlin. And this year, I like a horse, Rodders, right? Don't laugh, that you can back at 33-1. 33-1, okay? I'm going to give Deja one chance and one chance only. Now, this is going to sound ridiculous because so far this season, he's finished 7th of 9, beaten 13 and a half lengths, 6th of 11, beaten 26 lengths, 10th of 10, beaten 37 lengths, and 7th of 7, beaten 23 lengths. But the flip side of that is he's gone from a mark of 112 in the spring down to 101 now. He hasn't ran since Chester in the middle of August. I think Peter Chappellheim has put him away for this race and given him one shot. He's obviously, there is a chance that this horse has lost the plot, but he's had a break. He's wearing blinkers for the first time. He loved the ground. He loved the trip. And on his day, you have to remember, this horse won the Old Newton Cup last year at Haydock, and he was second in the Duke of Edinburgh at Royal Ascot. On his day, he's a very good horse. You're obviously taking a chance that he has lost the plot, but you're getting 33-1 to find out whether he has lost the plot or not. And I think he's worth a small, small wager. So, DJ, for me, Rodders.
You really are drunk, aren't you, DJ?
Yeah.
You're talking about losing the plot. I think that this one, you might have lost the plot. Deja, I mean, he's not run any sort of race all season, has he?
No, but 101. Like, imagine if you were told at the start of the season that he'd be running the November handicap off a mark of 101, you would have laughed.
Well, I'm still laughing. Yeah, I don't think the Deja's got any chance. Told DJ, I think this was race was between Farhan, who finished behind Siskany last time out at Newmarket. Of course, Siskany was beaten at odds on next time in a listed or group race, but I still think that's pretty good form for Farhan, and I thought that was a good race at the time. Candleford was third, Boltaway was fourth. I mean, they were all sort of improving three-year-olds, and Farhan was well backed and ran very well, and they just ran into one. So I'm going to back Farhan. The other one is the absolute, well, used to be a bit of a nutcase, didn't he? But Sam Cook, I mean, he's quite a good horse now, isn't he? He seems to have turned a corner. I mean, he won that race at York almost on the bridle when I couldn't believe it. I was on Throne Hall that day and I was like, oh, Sam Cook's cruising all over me. That's all right. And then Sam Cook actually came past. I couldn't believe it. And then last time out, he ran into In Jazati over a mile and a quarter and stayed on really strongly towards the finish. Thought he shaped like he wanted a return to a mile and a half. So they're my two against the field in the November handicap, DJ Farhan and Sam Cook. And all the luck in the world with Deja, because I think he might need it.
Yeah, I think I need more than luck, but I just think at 33-1, the back class is there. And I think he just could just spark into life with blinkers and soft ground. And I'm going to give him a chance anyway. But anyway, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. We all know we've been waiting for Mr. Ron Wood that's going to sweep the floor here with his Breeders' Cup tips. And we're going to kick off, Ron, at 8:59 at Del Mar, where the surf meets the turf. It is the Maker's Mark Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. It's obviously a grade one, and what a race we have in prospect here. Love for Aidan O'Brien, and Ryan Moore is currently our 7-2 favourite. Warlike Goddess is 4-1. Love's Only You, 9-2. Audaria is 11-2, and it is 15-2 bar. Take it away, Ron.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting one, this. I think if Love was to come back to form and run her race, I think she'd have an outstanding chance. The question mark is, I mean, I'll throw that back to you straight away, actually. You guys, what do you think? I mean, Love's a horse you'll be really familiar with. Do you think she's just gone, or do you think she's... I've gone against her. I've taken the view that, you know, that she comes in, that she's still been running to an okay level, but, I think she's possibly on the downgrade. Have you any thoughts on that, you guys?
Well, the only thing is, Ron, like, she was trying to give £9 to Le Petit Coco, okay? Now, Le Petit Coco was now rated 114. So you're trying to give £9 to Le Petit Coco. Like, it was a fair effort. She traded very short and running that day. She was only collar close home. She obviously had ran in the Judmont in York. And I don't think that form behind Midstrip is too bad. I don't think she's gone at the game. And I think on this ground, at this track, she should be fine. And I definitely think she's a deserving favourite.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I think I've read an interesting quote from Aidan O'Brien as well. He made the point that the run at the Curra last time was also just a warm-up to the Arc. She was originally supposed to go to the Arc, so she might not even have been fully revved up for that. So that's an interesting one. Oh, I greatly respect Love, but just at the prices, I mean, she's short enough for me. I do think there is a little question mark over her. I've gone for one at a bigger price, and that's Pocket Square of Chad Brown's. Taking a bit of a flyer on this one. But Chad Brown's, I mean, he's won four of the last nine runnings of this race, and he's kind of just quietly dropped this Pocket Square in here under the radar. She won't sort of stand out on the figures, because on the speed figures or just the performance ratings, purely for the fact that when she won last time, she won a slowly run race, so you couldn't mark her too highly. But she really quickened up to win that. It's quite impressive. That was a mile one. Today this trip is a mile three. But she's drawn two. She's going to save ground. And around these tight tracks in America, particularly in this filly and mare turf, I want a horse who's got a bit of tactical speed. And I think from two, she can just sort of stalk maybe the likes of Love. And whereas Love's going to have to try and grind it out, which isn't always the play around these kind of tracks. A pocket square, if it all goes to plan, is just going to stalk the speed while saving ground. And she showed last time she's got that turn of foot. She looks like she's just coming good at the right time. She's only had five starts with Chad Brown, and she's won her last two. And that last one just marked up as maybe one to be interested in. I mean, the fact that Chad's got a barn full of good fillies, and he's only running two in this, and Pocket Square's gone in there, and she's a big price. And I'd rather just take a chance on her than back in Love at much shorter odds, and kind of we'll hope in Love still can still kind of do it. So yeah, Pocket Square on that one.
Is this the same Pocket Square that was with Roger Charlton once upon a time? I presume.
Yeah,
so.
That's her. Yeah, and I mean, she looked a possible classic filly for Roger Charlton. And it didn't happen for her. And even when she went to the States, it sort of took a few runs, and you kind of thought that maybe she wasn't going to sort of develop into anything. But she's just quietly gone about her business the last couple of starts. She probably gained a bit of confidence when she won two back. They stuck her in a grade three at Belmont last time, as I say. And it was a bit of a mockery of a race, but she really quickened up. And if this turns into a test, I don't think that the Sun races this weekend where I think they're going to go really fast. I don't think this one's going to be one of them. I think they're going to go relatively steady for the track and the trip. And I was just looking at Pocket Square's pedigree as well. I mean, even though this is a new trip for her, the dam had decent form in France up to sort of beyond 12 furlongs. So, and this is a mile three. I think I'm not saying she's going to win. She still has to show she's capable of winning a race like this. But there's certainly enough to like when you consider the trainer as well, and you're kind of following Chad Brown and thinking, well, you know, he's stuck her in here that he obviously believes in her as well.
It's funny. I remember Pocket Square. She ran in the Musidora at York last year. And I thought she was going to take last season by storm. And I put her up in my WhatsApp group. And I was like, lads, we need to get on Pocket Square for the Misadora. She is an absolute star. And she finished last, I think, that day. But she was really, really keen. And she was still immature. So she certainly has ability. So it'll be interesting to see if she's able to follow that through. Rodders, do you like anything in the filly and mare turf?
I don't have any info on this one, and I don't fancy Love because I think she is on the downgrade. I think she's probably right. She probably wasn't quite as good as she first looked. You know what I mean? I know she's very good, a bit like Snowfall. You know, I know Snowfall was great, but then she dropped off. Sort of similar horses, aren't they? And we definitely aren't seeing her very, very best, I don't think, the last couple of starts. So I'll be keen to take her on. I didn't fancy Daria or the other European runner, Rougier. So whenever it comes to the Breeders' Cup, I have sort of a general rule on it. If I don't have any US info from the track and I don't fancy any of the Europeans, I don't bet in the race. And in this race, I don't have any info from the track and I don't fancy any Europeans. So that equals don't bet in the race.
Okay, that's good policy to have, Graham. Moving on to the 10:20 at Del Mar. It is the Breeders' Cup Mile, and I have to say, one of my favourite horses in training. Heads to market at 9-4. Space Blues. Mo Forza is 6-1, Mother Earth 8-1, 12-1 Blowout, 12-1 In Love. So Graham didn't fancy Love, but we'll find out if he's in Love. 12-1, Master of the Seas is 14-1, Pearls Galore is 14-1, and it's 16-1 Bar. Ron, please, please, please tell me. My whole night is going to revolve around one horse. At 10:20, it is Space Blues. Please tell me this is your banker of the night.
I'm afraid to disappoint you, but I've gone against him. I can see why you like him. He's a great horse. He's a fun horse. He travels in his races. He so often wins. And I mean, last time he was quite spectacular at Longchamp, wasn't he? The way he just loomed up there, and it's Buick was so confident. It looked like he still had a mountain to climb, and Buick was just sort of kind of sat motionless before asking him to go. I mean, that was good. This is a different test. That was heavy ground at Longchamp last time, 7 furlongs. This is a mile on firm. He did win his maiden going just beyond a mile, actually, 8.4 furlongs. And he has won on quickish ground. He won the Pre-Maurice de Keith, officially good ground, and he won a race in Saudi Arabia earlier this year, which was on good to firm. I looked back at the times of the Maurice de Geest, you know, like they say, the last 10 or so runnings, and his wasn't the quickest. I mean, it wasn't even like the second or third or fourth quickest. So, I mean, while it was good ground, it wasn't rattling quick. And then even his race in Saudi Arabia that he won, the time of that race was a little bit slower than the previous running, you know, the year before when they first ran that race. It kind of just leads, and likewise a few of the other turf races on that card, it kind of leads me to think that he still goes into this race with having to prove that he goes on firm ground. I wouldn't look at his form and think, oh, he goes on firm, he won in Saudi, or, you know, he's won the Maurice to do some good. I still think this is going to be a different test for him. The trip's also a question mark. The race he won in Saudi Arabia was just short 7 furlongs. And he had a low, I think they're going to ride him very similar to in the mile to how they rode him there, because they sort of jumped him out of the stalls, had him a little bit handier than usual, I guess because, you know, the ground was quick. They didn't want to get too far out of their ground. And he was a little bit lit up. He was a bit keen. And he won it, but he was a little bit laboured for my liking under pressure. I just think that was almost the race that put me off him in a way. I know he went and won, but I watched that race back and, you know, I didn't see a Breeders' Cup mile winner there. So I'll go against him at the prices. The one I quite like is Mo Forza, locally trained horse for Peter Miller. The last time this meeting was at the at Del Mar, Peter Miller had 4 runners and he only across 2 different races in 2 of the sprints. In one of the races, the turf sprint, he had the first and the second. And in the other sprint, the dirt sprint, he had the winner. So, I mean, this is a guy to really take note of it around Del Mar. And Mo Forza is a stable star. And this horse has won 8 of his last 9 starts. He's won a few races around Del Mar. He's got tactical gears. He's like Space Blues in the way that he'll just travel around. But this horse, you can kind of trust him to really quicken up. He knows this track well. He's proven it time and again. So if him and Space Blues both kind of go around together and you think, okay, they're both going well, turning in, who's going to pick up the best? I just trust Mo Forza with home advantage to be the one. He's a really talented horse. The only time that he's been beaten in his last 9 starts was the only time that he's left Southern California. He went to the Pegasus World Cup at Gulfstream. This was last January, so, January 2020. So he's quite a formidable rival on his home patch. And yeah, he'll do for me over Space Blues. And he's a bigger price as well. So
lovely stuff. Mo Forza for Ron Wood. 6-1, best price of Bet365. Graham Rodway, do you like something in the mile, or have you heard something, or have you got a spy in Del Mar for this race?
Not for this race, DJ, sadly. No, I also am against Space Blues. I'm not convinced that he's a true miler. I know that there's this argument that you can be a sort of, you know, short of a miler, because Expert Eye, didn't he? He was a 7 furlong horse, Expert Eye, and he went and won it. And there may have been 1 or 2 previous in the past. But generally speaking, I think you need to stay well to win this race. And I'm not sure that Space, I think he's a 7 furlong specialist, so I'm against him. Mother Earth, sure to run well, and she absolutely rock solid. Of the Europeans, I thought that Master of the Seas was hugely overpriced for Charlie Appleby, who's obviously had a fantastic season. It was a fantastic few years. And excellent record abroad, hasn't he? Whenever he takes runners to the USA or Dubai or anywhere, you know, he's absolutely fantastic. And I thought the Guineas runner-up at a double-figure price, Master of Seas, was quite an interesting runner. He's got the inside draw in stall one under James Doyle, and we know how he's ridden. I mean, he'll be held up and trying to come through late. I think this race might play to his strength. So at the prices, it's Master of the Seas could be certainly best of the Europeans. I wouldn't be up on the American form. If I get beaten by an American, then so be it. But I'll definitely be back in Master of Seas each way.
Lovely stuff. So there you go. That is, I hope he's at both wrong, to be honest with you. But it'll be a fascinating race nonetheless. And so will the 11:40 at Del Mar. It is the Longines Breeders' Cup turf, and the exceptional Tarnawa is 11-8 top price on the high street. 11-8 Tarnawa. Tiona is 7-1 for the surfer himself, Mr. David Egan. Yabir is 8-1. Walton Street 9-1, and it is 12-1 bar. So, Ron, you're against Space Blues, okay? Now, are you with Tarnawa?
To be honest, I've gone against this one as well, and the main reason being that I just don't like her draw in 11. I think she was in 13, and 2 horses have come out, so she's moved down 2. So that helps her a little bit. But I still think she's, even from 11, I think she's gonna find herself having to drop in like she did at Keeneland last year. And I just think she'll get too far back. This it's a really short straight here, Del Mar, shorter than at Keeneland. I went back over this race from the 2017 running, which is the only time they had the meeting at Del Mar. And the first 3 that day raced in 5th, 2nd, and 3rd for most of the way. And yet that was a really strongly run race. And it just not many closed into it. Talismanic, the winner, sort of hugged the rail, as I say, in 5th. And Highland Reel was always up there, and Beach Patrol, Chad Browns, was always up there. Nothing really got into it, despite a real good gallop. So even if the same happens again, and I do think this will be a strongly run race, I think Tarnawa, from a wide draw, is probably going to find herself a good 7-8 lengths off the speed, and I don't think she'll get into it in time. Off the back of a hard race in the Arc, and this ground's probably going to be a little bit firmer than it was at Keeneland. There's just enough there. I think she's a fantastic mare. She's got a great turn of foot, but I'll go against her this time. And the one I've gone against her with, I wouldn't, you know, I'd never fancy this horse to beat her in Europe if it was going to be a sort of fair race around a galloping track or what have you. But I've gone for Walton Street. And the reason being, I think he'll just, I've looked for a horse in this race that I think will just get a trip, get a good sort of stalking trip, saving ground in behind the speed and get first run on the horses like Tanawa. And Walton Street, he's never been like a sort of headline horse back at home, but he was good in Dubai earlier this year. He won a couple of races there. He absolutely bolted up in the Canadian International last time by almost 6 lengths. And I think the Canadian International traditionally has never been a good pointer to the Breeders' Cup turf. But one thing to note there is that they moved that in the calendar. So it was run a month earlier than usual this year, which has given Walton Street a good sort of 7 weeks to get over that effort. I just think he's a hard knocking horse, 7-year-old in the form of his life, who's going to, well, if it all goes to plan, is going to get a good trip. And that I don't think Tanawa's going to get a good trip or Tiona or horses like that. So, yeah, I've just gone for Walton Street to try and make the most of what might be a good opportunity.
Fascinating stuff. 9-1, best price, Walton Street. Rodders, where do you stand in the Breeders' Cup turf?
Yeah, obviously I like this race because there's lots of Europeans in it, so I understand it. I think that Tanawa is obviously in an absolute different grade to this lot on her best form because that arc was a top-class arc. Hurricane Lane was third, Adio was fourth. I mean, Sealaway was fifth and that won the Champion Stakes. Snowfall was sixth and Chronogenesis was seventh. So, yeah, if you're talking about as far as top class horses go, I mean, that's four or five in a row and she beat them all. Obviously, she didn't beat the German horse, but that was how it went on the day. I still think she was one of the best horses in the race. The way it worked out, Dermot Weld certainly felt that way, didn't he? And if she turns up on her best form and the draw doesn't beat her, she will definitely win the race. And my initial thought was, wow, 11-8 is one of the bets of all time. But yeah, I mean, given this is a US race and it's a very tight track and she is drawn in stall 11, I'm not sure I want to be taking 11-8. So I just thought Broome might run well. I've been waiting for Broome to win a big race all season. I know he won one on soft ground in France, but that's not a real big race, is it? I mean, it was a Group 1, but the Grand Prix de St. Cloud ain't a Breeders' Cup turf, is it? So I just think that he might get out in front here, or he'll certainly be up on the speed with Frankie on. He's drawn in stall 6. And I could just see him rolling away in front, then finding hard to catch. Again, another each-way play for me, because I think he could be placed at worst, Broome.
Brilliant, brilliant. Interesting stuff. So Tanawa is not going to have it her own way, according to the experts. Moving on to the feature race of the night. It is the nightcap. 20-1. We'll just be rocking in from the boozer. 20-1, 12:40 at Elmar, the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic. Nick's Go is currently our 5-2 favourite. Essential Quality 3-1. Hot Rod Charlie 5-1. Medina Spirit 7-1. And it is 10-1 bar. And I can't wait to hear what Ron Wood has to say about the classic.
Yeah, I've gone for Hot Rod Charlie in this one. I'm quite keen on him. I think he still strikes me as being a decent price. I think he ticks a lot of boxes. I think the first thing to note here is that I'd want to be sort of throwing out the 4-year-olds. I've taken quite a strong view here. Four of the nine runners are 4-year-olds. They've just never been, they were never the best of their generation. They're just kind of what was left behind after the good ones went to stud. And they've sort of mopped up some reasonable races this year, beating the sort of, like I say, those horses that were left behind. And now they're back in against a decent bunch of 3-year-olds. There are 4 3-year-olds in here, and three of them are, you know, pretty good. You've got Essential Quality, won the Belmont Stakes, got Medina Spirit, who won the Kentucky Derby. Hot Rod Charlie himself, he didn't win a Triple Crown race, but he was always there or thereabouts with those. And he's still improving. He's been first past the post in grade ones on his last two starts, and his most recent start in the Pennsylvania Derby, he really, really recorded a quality time. He has been sort of goofing around a little bit in his races, and when he won last time at Parks, he was lugging out to his right on the turn, and the time before that, he actually got disqualified from the Haskell because he edged left. I just think I'd almost take that as a positive, if possible, just for the fact that when he should be getting tired, he's just sort of almost like playing around. I think, you know, he's just doing it, and yet he's still recording really fast times. I just think if they can, I think there's more to come from this horse. He's still maturing, and he's the other thing to note here is that I think the shape of the race, you've got Nick's Go, who's probably going to blast along. Medina Spirit, the Kentucky Derby winner, is going to probably go with him and maybe sit in second. Hot Rod Charlie's got tactical speed. He can just watch those two. You go with them if he has to, or just sit off them if he has to. Whereas a horse like Essential Quality is kind of going to be racing a bit further back and hoping that there's a bit of a pace meltdown. I think Hot Rod Charlie has got the form as good as any, and I think he's going to have the best track position. He just ticks a lot of boxes. As I say, I'm disregarding the four-year-olds, and Hot Rod Charlie for me is solid, and I'd have him short in the betting personally.
Well, I thought there was only one Hot Rod in the business, and that was Graham. But that's obviously not, because it's a Hot Rod Charlie, and you have utterly convinced me, Ron. A very, very valid case made for Hot Rod Charlie. 5-1 sounds to me like you're going to be stealing money. 5-1 Hot Rod Charlie. Graham, is it going to be Hot Rod Graham going for Hot Rod Charlie?
No, it's not. I know absolutely nothing about these horses, but this is a race where I have had a text
always
through.
Always a good way to start your tip, Graham, when you say you know nothing about
horses. This is a race where I've had a text through from my spy on track, and he says, you absolutely must back Essential Quality in the Classic. That's all I know.
As opposed to the other race, sir.
I don't know why I absolutely must back Essential Quality. There was no logic. There was no argument to it. All the text said was, you absolutely must back Essential Quality in the Classic. Now, the only thing I can think of is that Brad Cox, who trains him, also trains the favourite, and maybe there's a rumour that Cox fancies Essential Quality. That's my sort of thinking. But all the text says is you must back Essential Quality in the Classic. So that's good enough for me, Dave.
That's fine, Rodgers. I just have one question for Ron Wood then. In the Belmont Stakes, Essential Quality beat Hot Rod Charlie by a length and a quarter. Why will that form be reversed?
Well, so Hot Rod Charlie that day, he pressed helped force a really fast pace. And in the circumstances, he did remarkably well to finish as close as he did. And that was a mile and a half. And if you watch that race back, Hot Rod Charlie only really gives way late on. And he really made Essential Quality work for it. That would have been that race would have been perfect for Essential Quality. All he does is stay. And Belmont's a big galloping track. That was a mile and a half. It was perfect for the Godolphin horse. Hot Rod Charlie's he's got more speed than him, and to be still hanging around at the death in that race was a huge effort. I should also add that Hot Rod Charlie was second to Essential Quality in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. But again, Hot Rod Charlie raced closer to a ridiculously fast pace. Essential Quality's stamina kicked in and just got him. I mean, it's possible the same thing could happen again here, that Hot Rod Charlie just kind of gets used up and Essential Quality picks them off, and Graham's text proves to be spot on. But I just, Del Mar's got quite a short straight and the race might just be over this time. This track, let's put it this way, this track Del Mar is so different to Belmont. Belmont being the big galloping circuit. Belmont being the big galloping circuit. Del Mar's more like, I say, a Chester. And this gives Hot Rod Charlie that advantage, in my opinion, to just nip away this time and stay away rather than getting reeled in. So, yeah, I really like it. As you can tell, I'm really strong on him.
And that, my friends, is why Mr. Ron Wood is the race day editor and our international expert. Just those last 60 seconds is exactly why, because you've utterly convinced me. Graham Rodway there, you're like, you know what it reminded me of there, Graham? Did you ever watch Love Island?
No, I would never watch anything like that, DJ. But well, I assume you would. I assume you would.
Ah, well, Aoife watches it, so I kind of just women and a famous line in the show is, I got a text, and then it tells them what to do. So it'll be interesting to see whether your text is as important as the text in Love Island. But Graham's text, a very, very special text, says Essential Quality, but Ron Wood goes for Hot Rod Charlie. It's going to be a fascinating showdown, and I can't wait. That is 12:40 at Del Mar on Saturday night. That leads us in nicely to the Saturday Naps.
This will not be beaten.
Ron Wood, it's time for your nap.
Jackie's Warrior is as I said, in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Same trainer as Clarier, actually, Steve Asmussen. He's just streets ahead of these horses and on the figures and abilities. And I just don't think there'll be too many worries with him. He's got speed and, he's only ever been beaten once going in a one-turn race. He did absolutely remarkably to finish a close second on that occasion because he had a terrible break. The jockey rushed him up and threw sort of absolutely ridiculous fractions, and yet he was still right there with a clean break this time. And, I mean, it's a horse race, anything can happen, but all being well, he's the outstanding form horse in that race. So yeah, if everything goes according to the script, which often it doesn't, if it does, then he should win that race.
So just give us the name, time and the race there.
So that's Jackie's Warrior in the 9:38, the Breeders' Cup Sprint at Del Mar.
Brilliant stuff. And to finish your Trixie, I'm going to go for the 12:50 at Nace. I'm staying on home soil for the Beth Victor Fishery Lane Hurdle and T. Hupu for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy. First price I see chalked up is 3-1. I think this horse could be a really, really smart horse this year. Works really well. He was 4-7 to beat Jeff Kidder at Fairy House last Easter. I thought the ground just went a bit too quick on him that day. Prior to that, he was brilliant both times at Fairy House, especially in a Grade 3 when he beat Tax for Max by 7 lengths. Bits off the ground this time. He's a big imposing sort. I think when he fills out into his frame, he's going to make a smashing chaser in years to come. But he's running against Calixios, who won last year's Triumph Hurdle, and Jeff Quitter, who won the Fred Winter. So I think he's going to beat two Cheltenham Festival winners. That's T. Hupu in the 12:50 at Nace. So that's it, folks. That's it for this week's Weekend Tipping Podcast. I've been David Jennings. I'd say you're hoping, and I think he is, that Bruce Millington will be back to host next weekend. My thanks to Ron Wood for all his expertise at Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup, and to our deputy betting editor, Graham Rodway. Enjoy the feast of racing all over the world this weekend. And remember, bet responsibly. Only bet what you can afford to lose. Enjoy it all. Thanks for listening.